Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? You're shining. Praise the Lord. All right, so it's our month of leadership, and it's still the year of shining. And of course, we've been learning about leadership and how that every Christian has one destiny to be a leader. You know, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." So there are people who think that as a Christian, I don't want to be seen, that something is up. Jesus said, shine before people. Let them see you. Let them see the good works and give glory to the Father. Praise the Lord. So every Christian has a destiny to be a leader. That's where you're journeying. Praise the Lord. But during our Wednesday services, we started learning about living right. And I want to continue from there today. Living right. Living a life that is right. Praise the Lord. That means making the right choices, doing the right things, doing things that you know God is pleased with, behaving in a way that God thinks is acceptable. Praise the Lord. But you see, living right, making the right decisions, pay attention to me. Don't lose me. Don't get distracted. Making the right decisions is not a mental thing. It's not, I've decided from today, I will not lie. There are many people who have vowed, and then they lied before they even realized it. Are you in this place? Where is he at? Ojoelegba. We're supposed to be Ikorodu. They call him, "Where are you, Palm Grove?" Before he even thinks about it, he's lied. Because it's not a mental thing. It's not a mental decision. There are people who, for example, don't even want to smoke. You could be here right now, smoking in secret. And every time you take the stick, you swear, today is the last day. Praise the Lord. Are you in this place? You decide today is the last day. And then give yourself 2 hours. You're back again. That's the next day. So it's not a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. And that's why you cannot live right without being righteous first. And so the Bible says that the gift of God is righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. You don't have to work for it. God has a gift for you. You just accept it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's start with that. Doing the right things, making the right decisions, living right is not a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. Praise the Lord. You need to be guided by God's Spirit. It's not mental. And so you hear David saying in Psalm 23 that he leads me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise the Lord. He holds your hand and ensures you walk in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you cannot do the right thing if you stay far from God's word. This is so important, what I'm sharing with you. You cannot just decide from today, I will only do the right thing. Because, you know, at times you know the right thing to do. Praise the Lord. Many people know the right thing to do. I shouldn't steal. I shouldn't lie. What's going on? But knowing the right thing to do doesn't mean you will do it. For example, look at Herod in the Bible. The Bible says he knew John the Baptist was a man of God. He heard him gladly. When his wife's daughter asked him for John the Baptist's head in a platter to kill John the Baptist, he didn't want to do it. He knew it was wrong. Are you in this place? He knew, but he did it. He knew the right thing to do, but he didn't do it. Praise the Lord. So at times you can know the right thing to do, but then you find yourself doing something else. Why? Because doing the right thing is not a mental thing. It's spiritual. The Bible says David was now king of Judah. And he was supposed to be king of Israel. And you had the household of Saul opposing him, fighting him. You had some Israelites not agreeing for him to be king. But eventually they all confessed that they knew he was supposed to be king. So they knew the right thing to do was to make David king. Yet they opposed him. So even though they knew the right thing to do, they still did not do it. The Bible tells us of Felix.
that was the governor, where Paul the apostle was imprisoned. The Bible says he knew the man was innocent. But to do the Jews a favor, he left him in prison, an innocent man. The next governor that took over from him also knew Paul was innocent. He was talking with the king and saying, this man has done nothing wrong. Yet, they still left him a prisoner. And so most of you might have that experience. Many times you've made up your mind. You're going to do the right things no matter what. But then you find yourself doing the wrong things. Why? Because doing the right things, according to God's way, is not a mental thing. It's spiritual. He has to lead you by his spirit. And how does spirit lead you? Through the word. So listen to what David says. Let's look at it now. Psalm 119 verse 11. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He didn't say, I've made up my mind, I will not sin against you. No. There's something he did. He said, I put your word in my heart so I will not sin against you. That's how you do it. If you're not fellowshipping with the word, praise the Lord. There's no such thing as residual knowledge. Someone says, you know, when I was in university, I read my Bible back to back. Now I mean, you know, that thing is still keeping me on. No. It's your daily bread. He said, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It is that consistent fellowship with the word that would ensure you walk in righteousness. Are you in this place? Consistent fellowship with the word. Every day. So every day you're walking in righteousness. You don't stop. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 John 1 verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. What is he trying to say? He's saying that if you have fellowship with him, you will not walk in darkness. As long as you keep fellowship with the word, you will not walk in darkness. You will not do the wrong things. You will do the right things. And this is why you have to prioritize spending time with God's word. You know, you can be a Christian and you're far from the word. What that means is that, of course, you come to church on Sundays, but there are days you abandon your Bible. Some people, it's even a joke. You know, some days I've not been consistent like that. No, you cannot walk in right. And let me tell you something. Not walking in righteousness is costly. Anytime you stay far from God's word, guess what? You begin to make excuses for things that are wrong and saying they are not that bad. Are you in this place? Hey, don't lose me. You begin to make excuses. Something that normally you would not do. You find yourself trying to understand it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things that normally you would not say. At times, a joke that normally you would not laugh at. All of a sudden, it's now funny to you. Why? Because you've been far from the word. This is what David said. Psalm 119 verse 150. You know, the people that are tired. They've tried. Every time they keep disappointing God. They want to do the right things, but they keep disappointing him. I'm showing you how to now. Because it is possible to consistently walk in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at what he says here. He says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. He says, those that follow after mischief are what? Far from the law. They are far from the word. Immediately you become far from God's word. Monday, you didn't read your Bible. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, very soon, you begin to follow after mischief. You begin to excuse things that you should not excuse. Are you in this place? You begin to listen to things you should not listen to. Why? Because you've been far from it. Because it's a spiritual thing. Don't think I know myself. I know myself nothing. No, it's spiritual. Once you go away from that leadership of the world, very soon, you start doing the wrong things. But the good news is, that means if you stick to God's word, you would always do the right things. You would always walk in righteousness. It says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Go to verse 151. Let's put our phones on silent, please. Thank you. 151. It says, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are what? True. Let's look at the two of them together. Go back to verse 150. It says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments. And this is awesome. You know what he's trying to say? He's saying that when you are far from God's word, you do the wrong things. But guess what? God is always near. At any given time, you can choose to return to him. Praise the Lord. At any, for example, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 weeks, you've not opened your Bible. The day you decide to open your Bible, he's right there. And then when you open the word and you get to the word, you will know the truth. You realize, okay, you know what? This thing I've been laughing at is not funny. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you cannot walk in righteousness consistently if you abandon God's word. One of the reasons why we have daily devotional and Bible reading plan, making it easy for you. So you don't say, where do I start from? You start from where the church is at. This is how we ensure, because that's the idea of God's church. Not just for you to come on Sunday, but to ensure that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, till we meet again on Sunday, you're walking in righteousness. You're living that Christian life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the disadvantages of staying far from God's word and then beginning to do the wrong things is that it will affect your witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will affect. Not just that. It will affect what you think about God. What you expect from God. Let me show you something. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. 1 verse 16. Let's get it together. Now, Paul is talking, all right? And he's talking to the church at Corinth. And so listen to this. He says, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. So he's trying to tell them that, listen, I had a plan. My travel itinerary. Are you in this place? How I was going to travel. All right? I will pass Corinth and go to Macedonia. Then from Macedonia, I'll come to Corinth. Then from you, I'll go to Judea. Do you understand? It's like saying I'll come from, you know, Lagos to Port Harcourt, then I'll go to London, and then I'll come to Port Harcourt, and then I'll go to... Do you understand? He's telling them his plans. But things did not work out that way. Go to verse 17. It says, when I therefore was thus-minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I proposed, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. So he had this plan on how to travel and meet them, but it didn't work out. So he's trying to tell them, listen, when this thing happened, praise the Lord, it wasn't because I was careless in how I planned my life. He said, listen, I'm not that way. I'm not someone, oh, this is so important. I'm not someone that talks out of the both sides of my mouth. I don't say yes, no, yes, no. My word is my word. Are you in this place? And he tells you why. Go to verse 18. He says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but him was yea. What is he trying to say? He's saying that I know that if my character is anyhow, it will be easy for you to think that the gospel I'm preaching is anyhow. Are you seeing that? So he's saying that even when I plan how to travel, I don't plan anyhow. Because I know everything that I do ministers the gospel. So if I'm not consistent in my life, my character, the way I behave, yes, you can be correct if you think the gospel I preach is not consistent. And so living right is so important for you as a Christian because you become the message. If you're not consistent, consistently walking in righteousness, people can question what you are preaching. That's what Paul is saying here. Praise the Lord. Because unbelievers are looking at you. You are the light of the world. They're looking at you. So Paul is saying, listen, if I'm not a consistent person, it affects what I'm preaching. So what do? You become a consistent person. To show them, see, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached, was not yes and no. What is he saying? He's saying, I represent Jesus wherever I find myself. If my character is not good enough, then you can say Jesus' character was not good enough. But that's not true. Praise the Lord. And so what does that mean? I have to adjust my life. Look at what it says in verse 16. Go there. 17. It says, did I use lightness? In other words, because he knows he represents Jesus, he doesn't do anything lightly. Are you seeing that? He's not careless. That's what he's trying to say. He doesn't talk carelessly. They can't just drag him and say, let's go to that place, and he's going. No, why? Because he knows he's representing Jesus. He said, I don't do things lightly. He said, I don't propose according to the flesh, meaning that I don't even make decisions based on how I see things. Praise the Lord. Because if I make a decision based on how I see things and it fails, you think Jesus fails. But you see, this is not just true for Paul. It is true for you as a Christian. So you cannot afford a day of misbehavior. There are people that try to overcompensate. Maybe 3 days they fasted and prayed. The fourth day they are going to play. No. It's a Christian life. There's no pause in between. Are you in this place? You can't afford it. Because what you're trying to say is that Jesus is serious for some time and sometimes he's not serious. And that's not true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so living right is so important. And then not just that. I like what he says. He says that, listen, if my word is yes and no, what I'm trying to communicate is that Jesus is yes and no. What does that mean? It means that as a Christian, if you're not consistent in your life, you might find it difficult to think that God can be consistent towards you. Are you in this place? If you're the kind of person that will tell someone, you want 5K, come tomorrow. But you know tomorrow you are gone. You will not be there. Then the person comes and you put off your phone. You know what? You're going to have a very hard time believing God for anything. Because the day you pray, you think he'll do you like that too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means you should keep your word. Be a person of your word. If you find it difficult keeping your word, you find it difficult believing that God can keep his word. If you're someone that says, 2 p.m. I'll be there, and you're there by 2, it will be hard for you to believe that when God says, this is yours, it's mine. So it doesn't just affect being inconsistent, doesn't just affect how people see you, it affects your own walk with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, you can walk in righteousness as long as you prioritize God's word. Always remember, it is not a mental thing. I have to stick to the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Look at what Paul said in Romans 2 verse 24. Romans 2 verse 24. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Say, not me. Those of us at the back, are you here? He's saying that those who misbehave, unbelievers will see them and insult God. Praise the Lord. Because he's so identified with us. You know, when Jesus appeared to Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou Peter? Is that what he said? No, me. And that's how Paul thought. That's why he said, listen, I cannot just talk anyhow. I can't just make plans anyhow. Why? Because if it doesn't work, you think that's how God is. He believed truly he was an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador of Christ. And we are ambassadors also. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so right living is so important. You know, people that say things like, I'm a Christian, it's in my heart, even though you don't see it right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it's truly in your heart, it will come out of you. Yes. Are you in this place? So you don't deceive yourself and think that you're just judging based on what you see. Or don't judge a book by the cover. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, if it's truly in your heart, it will come out, it will show out in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so right living is so important. Let's listen to something from Paul again. 2 Corinthians 1. Go up now, verse 12. Paul is talking. Please pay attention to this. I'll soon close, believe me. All right? It says, for our rejoicing is this. That means this is what makes us happy. The testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, word. You know what he's saying? He's saying that we are always happy because why? Of our conscience. We know as we are walking on this earth, we are walking in godly sincerity, meaning we are sincere people. Think about it. He's bold enough to write this. You know, he said, I know I have never lied to anybody. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Peter talked about Jesus, how that there was no guile found in his mouth. He was without sin. Now, Paul is saying the same thing. He said, listen, the testimony of our conscience bears us witness. We are simple. We lived in simplicity. We were what? We lived in godly sincerity, meaning that we were sincere in the eyes of God. We're not manipulative. We're not criminals. We didn't try to cheat anybody. We didn't lie to anybody. Praise the Lord. Not just that. He says, we didn't live by fleshly wisdom. Meaning that we didn't just do things because people are doing it. Are you in this place? We didn't do it because we think this is a wise thing to do. Now he's giving us, you know, reference points that we can use to measure how we live on this earth. Simplicity. Praise the Lord. Simplicity. Godly what? Sincerity. You be a sincere person. Honest. You're an honest person. That is right living. You're honest. You don't lie. You don't try to manipulate people. A lot of people are manipulative. But even though you have the opportunity to, you don't do it. And then you don't live by fleshly wisdom. Everybody is doing this. That's why you went to do it, because everybody is doing it. Everybody is not your God. Are you in this place? You have only one Lord and Master. His name is Jesus. You only do what he wants you to do. This is what you use to measure how you walk on this earth. Are you a sincere person? A cheat? Or do you lie? Or do you take bribes? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what you use to measure. Do I walk by fleshly wisdom? Or do I do things because God wants me to do them? No, there are people that might be Christians. Truly, they are Christians. But their sense of right and wrong is upside down. Why? Because they are far from God's word. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost convicts through the word. At times, you know this is not, you know, you're not even sure if it's right or wrong. But that's why you go to God's word. It makes it clear. This thing is not correct. So you can use this measure and say, you know what? I want to be sincere in the eyes of God. And so I cannot say this. And so I cannot be there. Praise the Lord. And when it's godly sincerity, it doesn't matter if anybody is seeing you or not. You're conscious that God is right there with you. Praise the Lord. Because there are people that it's only when people are seeing them that they walk honestly. All the things they say don't do. When nobody is seeing them, they do it. No. Paul is saying at the end of our lives, even as we are living right now, this is a hallmark. Simplicity, godly sincerity, fleshly what? Wisdom, we don't walk by that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So basic things as a Christian. There are people that are greedy. They take bribes. They ruin, you know, there are people that will do anything for money. So they ruin vital relationships because of money. They can lie because of money. They can change allegiance because of money. But that should not be the way of the Christian. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people that take bribes. And they are Christians. But that should not be the way of the Christian. Don't reduce your value or principles because of money. This is so important, especially today, where they say things are quite expensive. And if you're far from God's word, you begin to excuse what you should not excuse, because after all, the economy is hard. Praise the Lord. But that's why the word of God sanctifies you. That's why it sanctifies you. So you don't do the wrong things because of money. Don't be that person that is known. They know if they give you 10K, your story will change. Say, not me. Don't be that person. Don't be the one that you know the right thing to do. But you're so greedy. There are people like that. So greedy for gain, you take a bribe or you cheat. Let me show you something. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 27. You see, there is Christian character. Remember, there was one speaker was preaching here a long time ago. I remember he said something. He said, nobody really say, and you call yourself a Muslim. How many of you remember when he said that? And you call yourself a Hindu. Or you call yourself a juju worshiper. If they say that, it means that they expect you to be wicked. Right? When they go, and you call yourself a Christian. Why? Because they know, at least to a limited form, that there should be Christian character. There is the character of a Christian. You keep your word. Are you in this place? There is that character. You're not greedy. Listen, the Christian is the one that stands out and stands tall on righteousness. They know. In the office. In fact, in the office, if someone is not doing the wrong, they say, I won't say, now born again. They think it's an insult. But it's a testimony of your faith. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It is. So Christian, you must express Christian character. You must be different. Don't say, now we all of us, they go to church. They are unbelievers in church too. Are you in this place? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that casts, you know, a net into the sea and brings in different kinds of fishes. He says at the end of the times, they will separate the good from the bad. Meaning that in God's kingdom, we preach, everybody comes in. But very soon, there will be a division. But ensure when that division happens, you're on the right side. And so you have to, because there are many times we talk about this, different things. But then everything we teach is crystallized in your character. That's how we know you believe everything that has been said. So even when you have an opportunity to do evil and nobody would know, or do evil that is popular, you stand out. You're that righteous person. You're that Christian. And not walking in righteousness is detrimental. Wisdom said, all those that hate me love death. So the end result of doing mago-mago or not being sincere, you will destroy your life. But not just that. The sad part, others can be affected. Okay, look at it. Let's read it together because people are so quiet. Let's read those at the back. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Again. Say this. Say to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Pastor said. We should quote this verse. So ensure you are quoting. Let's quote again. One, two, go. Stop. Have you seen people that are greedy for gain? Greedy for profit? They will backstab anybody. He says what? He will trouble his own house. Meaning that people in his house that don't know what's going on will be troubled. That's what he's saying here. He that is greedy of gain troubled his own house. He might be getting the gain. Are you in this place? He might be getting it, but he's getting trouble. Says he troubles his own house. Says, but he that hated gifts shall live. He's talking about bribery. He's talking about not being the kind of person that once they give you a gift, you can't think straight again. Praise the Lord. Yeah. No, have some principles. Someone can say, yeah, take 50K. Maybe it's even the money you've never seen before in your life. You used to hear about it. You have never encountered it. But even though they give you and say, listen, change, you say, no way. Do you know the people that are exemplifying the word of God were like that? Look at Abraham. The Bible says he went and delivered Sodom and Gomorrah from captivity. And he brought all the spoil. And the king of Sodom said, Abraham, just give me my people. Take the things. Abraham said, no way. He said, carry your property before you say you made Abraham rich. What a mindset. Are you in this place? Look at Elisha. Naaman came looking for healing for his leprosy. Elisha said, go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Come back. The man came back. He was healed. He said, you know what? Let me just pack something and give it. Elisha said, no, keep your gifts. I don't need it. You see, you have to have some principles. Your eyes set on the world, not on money. You don't do things because, you know, there are people that are flatterers just because of money. Don't be that way. That is not Christian character. That is not right living. Have some value. Are you in this place? Look at Elisha. He said, no. Told Naaman, take your money and go. Then his servant Gehazi ran and lied and took some money and came back, acted like nothing happened. Elisha said, listen, I like what he said. He said, is it time to collect gifts? There is time to collect gifts. There's time to say no. Learn it. There are people that can never say no to money. He give them money. Thank you. They think they can't say no. You know what that means? It means that you become a slave. But Christ has made you free. Are you in this place? He's made you free. Look at Daniel. Belshazzar said, interpret this vision and I will make you the third ruler of my kingdom and give you lots of gifts.
Then I say, give someone else. And I don't need your position. These are people who knew their God. Are you in this place? So don't say because things are hard now, you're changing your values. You're putting the wrong figures. Nobody will know. It's just 100 naira that changed. But God knows. And guess what? Promotion comes from God. Oh. Listen, let me tell you something. It is God that promotes people, not their sense. Are you in this place? It's not with being wise and being cunning that will make you advance in life. It's God. So when you have an opportunity to be wise and cunning and you choose to do the right thing, that is where God promotes. There are people that have been stealing from their ogas for years and they are still there. They've not moved ahead. All the things they are stealing, you would think by now they should have built mansion. Nothing. Why? Promotion comes from God. Are you in this place? Comes from Him. And out of His mercy, He will even promote you if you're doing the wrong things. Why? Because Bible says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. If you're doing the wrong things and you see promotion, you keep doing it and you destroy your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, he that is greedy of gain troubled his own house. He's getting the money, yet his child is sick. Why? Nobody knows. And there's an example of this in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that David, instead of going to fight, when kings are fighting, he was at home. Doing what? Only God knows. Praise the Lord. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And while he was at home, he saw a woman bathing. Called her. Slept with her. She got pregnant. He called her husband. Killed the husband. Married the wife. Doing everything as though God does not exist. But God saw it. And God said, because you have slept with another man's wife in secret, He said, someone else will sleep with your own wives in public. Okay, listen to this. See, hear what God said. Someone else will sleep with your own wives. Is it the wives that did something wrong? But they became a part of the consequence. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, from nowhere, his firstborn son, Amnon, is interested in his sister. Rapes that one. Then Absalom gets angry, kills Amnon. Then tries to take the kingdom from David. And in the process, his own son slept with his concubines in the public. One man troubled his house. You can say, me, I'm not David though. I didn't kill anybody. But he says, the one that is greedy of gain is like that. Well, you can do anything for peanuts. Not me. Have some principles. Are you in this place? Give you the 1.5 million and say no. 3.5, no. 4.5, no. Before you say yes and go and die. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
No. Think about it. You say 1.5. 1.5 million. I've never. Ha! Bring it. You're looking. Praise the Lord. You're with the check. You're going to jam you. No. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in righteousness, be very afraid. Be very afraid. The Bible, wisdom said, all those that hate me love death. Meaning that at any point in time, you can be affected. So the only way to ensure that you're living boldly, in confidence, without fear, walk in righteousness. You know, people who do the wrong things and go and sleep, I don't think they have peaceful sleep. It's not possible. It says, but he that hated gifts. That means you're kind of person that you can be moved by gifts. You can take it, you appreciate it, but nobody can change your mind because of gifts. He says, shall live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Yeah. So you don't try to cheat the system, cheat your company, cheat the people that are cheating everybody. Everywhere they are, they must look for a way to try to cheat. Don't be that way. Christian character is so important. And if you've been that way, that's why the Word of God comes to you, because you can change. If God didn't think you can change, He will not bring His Word to you. Are you seeing that? He's not a poor investor. He's going to send His Word to you. It's because He thinks that you can change. Do you know? It's when things are hard that we can verify if you're truly a Christian. It's not when everything is going well. You have 1.5 million in account. Someone says, I just changed it for 2K. It's always 2K. Get that from here. It's when you have zero and someone drops its cash, 5 million. If that's why you're shouting.
I said, just sign, just sign. There are people like that, 5 million, just sign. They won't even look at what they are signing. They won't look at my money. Is this real? Don't be that way. It says, he that hated gifts shall live. You're living for the Lord. He sees you. Praise the Lord. And that must be your consciousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look at what David said. Psalm 119, verse 127. Then we'll read one last one and we'll go. Psalm 119, verse 127 says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. You know, nothing else competes with God's word like money. Nothing else. Nothing else. In fact, you know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all. That means God has diagnosed the problem of every evil in the world. Everyone, every single one. He says the love of money is the root of it. Once anybody loves money, that means money is now taking the place that God should take. Very soon, you will agree to evil. You will do the wrong things. But not you. But look at David. So this is the option. Either you love the word or you love the money. But David says, I love your commandments above gold. He says, yes, above fine gold. That should be your disposition. Where only the word of God can move you, can persuade you. Are you seeing that? Not money. Your principle should be bedrocked on the word. That's what David says. Let's go one last thing. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 12. I'm telling you that there are people who have troubled their household because of the wrong things that they've done. And let me tell you something. We'll get here. Never envy wicked people. It's useless. Never envy a fraudster. He can't do anything with the money. Are you in this place? And the problem he takes upon himself is what money cannot solve. Never envy those that are walking in unrighteousness. They can't even sleep at night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? You don't know the troubles they are causing. You could have someone who's a politician and he's a criminal, or a government official is a criminal. But look at that child he has. All the money he's stealing is going to the drugs. Not knowing that pipeline can break once he stops stealing. He doesn't even know it. Now, he has a reason for stealing. Do you understand this thing? The guy might have stolen, not just purchased anybody, stolen from the company just for flex. Then his family member gets sick. Now he thinks he must steal to help this family member, not knowing that problem came from his unrighteousness. And the day he changes, everything will stop. The Bible says, he that is greedy for gain troubleth his own house. Look at Solomon. He left God. But who suffered his consequence? His son. The kingdom was not given from Solomon when he was still king. It was when his son became king that God took the kingdom away from him. And where was Solomon? Dead. He was gone. Yet, his house, the dynasty, was troubled because of one thing that he did. Praise the Lord. So don't say, the reason why I'm stealing is not for my family members. No, you're stealing against them. You are hurting them. You think you are helping them. You will soon destroy their lives. Not you. Verse 12. He says, for wisdom is a defense. And money is a defense. Is it true? Money stops nonsense. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the rich man speaketh what? Roughly. But the poor maketh entreaties. In other words, if you're poor, you go beg. You will beg. Are you in this place? What's one else to just press phone call? Please, please, you beg. It says, but the rich man speaks what? Roughly. Meaning, a man who is wealthy can go anywhere and shout. Why? Money answereth all things. So money is a defense. Defense against nonsense. That's what he's saying. Money will defend. When nonsense is coming, the money will just stop it. Praise the Lord. He says, but wisdom is also a defense. Meaning that God's word, you know, the Bible says the word of God will preserve you and keep you. The word of God can defend you from nonsense. Are you in this place? It says, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. This is where the power of money stops. Money cannot give life. Have you seen a man that is dead? And they brought hard currency, dollars, and they put it on his nose. Is that money? He didn't die. He fainted. Praise the Lord. Money cannot give life. And so what does that mean? A man who steals a lot, the problem we will have is the one money cannot solve. So why esteem money that is limited instead of the word of God that has no limitations? It says wisdom is also a defense. Meaning that knowing the right thing to do and doing it will defend you against nonsense. So that guy, think about it. Let's say you are a clerk in an office, but you know God's word. And a man that has billions comes to you and says, take this money and do the wrong thing. That is money is his defense, Abi. The word of God you know is also your defense. Yes. So you can also boldly say, no, I'm not doing it. Say, do you know me? I will show you the word of God is your defense. Because why are you saying no? Because of God's word. That means it's not you he will show. He's threatening to show God. And nobody can. Are you in this place? So don't be so captured by something that has limitations. Don't be taken away by money. Things are hard, things are hard. But you're like a tree. Planted by the rivers. That is the word. That is your defense. Are you in this place? Yeah. So nobody can sell. You don't sell your soul for bread or for some useless amount of money. You're committed to the word of God. Say, I am committed to the word of God. Say, I am committed to the word of God. Say, I am dedicated to the word of God. I walk in righteousness. Living right has become my expressions by the power of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and speak in other tongues and just thank him. And for some of you, that you need to make a change now. Because God wants to prosper you. It's true. But the cheating, the scheming, the wickedness is limiting him. But you can change. You can live right. Let him be the one that gets your heart, not money. Give him your heart, not money. Let him get your attention. You can do anything for him. Not that you can do anything for money. I want you to stand up on your feet now and begin to pray.